Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome to our final segment here on Labor Day. As we often talk about on the show, that we need to focus on the F's to get an A in transition. That would be our faith, family, friends, fun, fitness, focus on others, and finally food. So we're going to go to that nutritional space. Amy, I have to say, I love what you've pulled together here, and calling yourself a CNO, a Chief Nutrition Officer, is classic. But this idea you've been able to blend all these different parts of your life together and launch this business, how's it feel so far?
You know what, it's both very exciting, but also it's been challenging too. I've embraced both the excitement to draw in different parts of my previous career and previous businesses, and then with the challenge of growing from that too.
Well, you're a solopreneur, as I am as well, and so you say the challenges. Is that realizing you also have to be the chief cook and bottle washer and pay the bills and do everything at the same time?
Yes, and also embrace the things that don't come as easily to me.
Yeah, isn't that true? And then at one point figure out, okay, how can I tap or outsource it, and to whom could I trust when you still have cradling in your hands this new child of yours?
Wonderful, yeah, and I've had wonderful friends who've been able to assist too.
Well, give us a brief overview of your practice now, the Seattle Food Nut.
Well, the Seattle Food Nut, as you mentioned, is a food and nutrition consulting company, and we primarily have two main audiences, two main groups of clients, those being athletes and the other group being business professionals. And for those two groups, we really offer the same core services, that being we do individual nutrition assessment consultations. We also provide various workshops and classes depending on their needs, and then we offer healthy food demonstrations. And then finally, we want to see what the progress is, so we offer periodic tracking of waist circumference, body mass index, just to make sure that they can see that there is some improvements that are being made.
You know, Amy, in the notes that you provided me, you talked about some really important topics of hydration, all-day energy, and power lunches. What do you mean by, I mean, the role of hydration? Let's start there.
Well, what we find both for business professionals as well as athletes is that oftentimes people, they're focusing on the food, they're focusing on when they should be eating, but they oftentimes don't focus as much attention on what they're drinking. Mm-hmm. And that can really affect, and in fact, can affect their performance sooner than a lack of food would. And we see sometimes just a loss of 1 or 2% of their, in terms of hydration, in terms of loss of body weight, we see then that affecting their performance, again, their focus, their concentration, or their athletic performance.
And do you find a dramatic difference between your clients, though, when you're working with athletes versus working with business professionals? I mean, both of these are about peak performance, right? It's about feeling well. And so you can be resilient through the dynamics you deal with.
Right. The difference primarily being of the two groups is oftentimes we see athletes having specific goals, whether it's, you know, a faster time or a better performance in their particular sport. And sometimes business professionals, we find that, you know, they haven't thought as much in terms of what the goal would be, or there's, you know, they know they need to change, but there's a lack of motivation to actually make that change.
Well, I think for those of us that travel a lot, yours truly, there's so many potholes you can fall into when you're traveling. You can't control it nearly as much you'd like to think you could staying home.
That is true. And one of the things that we do work with, I've worked with several clients in terms of oftentimes bringing along various portable snacks, mm-hmm. whether it's on the airplane or just having them in their hotel room.
Well, I know one of the sectors, and your website, by the way, is really nice. Folks, if those of you who are streaming us right now, go to seattlefoodnut.com, is the approach or the recognition that for companies to optimize their fiscal health, in other words, and also minimize their health care costs, and increase productivity, it really comes down to wanting to empower the individual to take charge of this. So some of your programs and your lectures and the like, do you see getting traction within firms as to how they can now, you know, institutionalize that knowledge within their workforce?
You know what, we're starting to see some changes. It oftentimes helps to go in there and not only tell them, you know, how this is going to help them, but also show them. And that's where it's key. I find I rely back on my culinary training and culinary experiences to really bring in that food and taste different things and see how fun it can be. Because oftentimes I feel like I come in and people are thinking, oh no, that she's going to tell me I have to take out a lot of foods I like, or I have to make some drastic changes and it's not going to be fun. So trying to bring the fun back into eating.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, you know, you certainly can see that with the amount of attention people pay to watching the Food Network these days. I mean, we've got teenagers, and that's the only operative channel in our house, which I think is really an interesting dynamic. The entertainment factor, as you said, but the knowledge and the awareness. You know, part of the challenge, though, for people that want to step up to, I would imagine, the nutritional programs you want to outline to them is it's a whole different dynamic for preparation of the food. Right, Amy?
Right. You know, we've become a very a country that has a very sophisticated palate, and we can go to restaurants and get some very exotic preparations and ingredients, and it's all very, very good, and we've developed a real desire for that. But yet, at the same time, we're not doing much in the kitchen in terms of as a whole, as Americans, and we're eating out a lot, and therefore we don't know how to prepare these things. And so again, stepping in, and it's as simple sometimes as just bringing a blender along to a company and showing them this is a really easy way to have a mid-afternoon snack, and you can get your protein and you can get your carbohydrates in, and it's going to help you to avoid a post-lunch lull just by having this blender of yogurt and fruit and juice.
What, take away my corporate nap at 2 o'clock? What are you talking about? I always would comment that's what I was would always look like a company perk was a 2 o'clock corporate nap. And I think it was as much about, you're right, coming, bouncing back from the lunch, whatever it was you ate or how you ate it, you know, the whole speed thing. And in fact, is that not something that also comes into play as you advise your clients about real lifestyle challenges of the rate at which we eat?
Yeah, that is also a challenge that we face. And I think in terms of also the rate, it's also stepping away from your desk to eat.
Mm, yeah.
Or not eating there as you're driving to an activity or a meeting. So really taking the time to make it an important activity.
Which is a challenge, because I think in this day and age, sometimes there's a social pressure that you shouldn't have time for lunch in the cafeteria, even if it provides nutritional options. That this got to be on the go, the activity thing, we lose track of it. That may not be getting us the results.
Right. That is something that takes a mind shift.
The clients that you've worked with now, Amy, are you working both with young people as well as older adults?
You know, primarily the athletes would be my younger clients, mm-hmm. And generally we're looking at teenage through adults. And then for business professionals, you know, it's very exciting to work with the people fresh out of college and their perspective on health and nutrition, but also the baby boomers who also, you know, have some very good ideas to share and really they can learn from one another.
So what do you hear from the college-age students or the recent entries into the workforce?
Well, you know, they're very knowledgeable. They've read a lot about various nutrition findings and various diets. And yet they, at the same time, they really don't do a lot of their own cooking. And so I see them very knowledgeable, but also asking very basic cooking food prep questions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Amy, tell us the background of Seattle Food Nut before I lose time. The whole idea of your passion for food.
Well, you know, when I was young, I grew up in Nebraska and was around fresh fruit and fresh vegetables with our family garden, my grandparents' farm, and so that really fostered a love of food. Then I found in high school, when I joined sports and got involved in that there was this connection between what we ate and how that affected my performance. And particularly when I was in high school, I developed a severe case of iron deficiency anemia.
Mm-hmm.
And that really opened my eyes to understanding that I needed to eat. I needed to eat a variety of foods, in this case, more iron-rich foods, in order to be able to have my health and to be able to perform. And then took that then to college to learn some analytical skills through my chemistry degree.
Sure.
And then being able to apply it with my master's degree in foods and nutrition at Purdue. And then was able to complete that to become a registered dietitian with training at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston.
And some of your experiences as a registered dietitian, tell us about that.
Well, you know, I started out not quite sure where I wanted to take this degree. And it so happened my husband was doing a medical residency in Pittsburgh, which we found to be a very wonderful place for me to get started, because I could start. I started in a hospital there, and then I was able to do some education of chefs at Pennsylvania Culinary. And then I was able to, I was recontacted by the hospital to come back and help them start up a restaurant program. They had a lot of heart patients, and when these people had their heart procedures done and they were discharged, they wanted to give them a place to eat and some choices at those various places that would be that would line up with what their recommendations were, that the dietitians of the hospital were recommending. So that was a neat, wonderful experience to really merge those two worlds. And then when we came out here to Seattle, was able to continue that with work with the dairy farmers and also the High School Sports Association.
So what prompted you to take that leap then in 2010 to do your own thing?
Well, you know, I just felt the timing was right.
Right, yeah.
And my kids were at a point where I had, you know, tried to stay more flexible up until this point. And they're pretty independent, or, you know, somewhat independent. And then I just felt like the with the healthcare changes
mm-hmm.
going on.
Right.
And people, becoming more in tune with nutrition and wanting answers, especially as things in the news came out and continue to come out, that seems kind of contradictory. I just thought this was a good time to launch this business.
Well, and I think you're right. The contradictory piece of it is really telling. I recently went in for my full-up annual physical, and my blood pressure had changed, and not so much blood pressure, my cholesterol balance had changed, and no kidding, I've been under a tremendous amount of stress, but how quick my doctor wanted to prescribe a statin drug to me, which I just threw my hands up, and I said, hold it, no way, and I'm very tall, thin, I try my best to abide by the kind of nutritional guidance you would have mentioned to me, and what confounded it was to think that there was a pharmacological approach you right away wanted to put me on, as opposed to stepping back and saying, let's take again another look at your nutrition. What about the role of integrative medicine and supplements? So I wanted to ask you about that, because, again, you're so well-versed in a variety of fields that are vectoring in. Are you finding that people's understanding or willingness to consider some of the natural supplements is also a possibility here?
It is a possibility, and especially out here in Seattle, I find that people are really willing to take an approach to food and to supplements, either in conjunction with some other prescriptions or trying to do it before. I feel like there's just even in the last couple of years a real willingness to see if I can do this more naturally.
Yeah. Now, give us a couple stories then of your clients that you've worked with, perhaps one or two that have, you know, been with you over a period of time, and how you've watched them change through the process of applying the principles you've offered.
Sure. One of the clients that comes to mind here is somebody who came in, and it was she was in her late 30s and really feeling overwhelmed in particular with her health, but just in terms of her life, the challenges and the responsibilities that she had. And as we talked with her and we looked at her blood values and things, you know, there were some things, numerous things that to be addressed. So she had some weight issues. She had high blood pressure. Her cholesterol was elevated. And she was looking at kind of at risk for type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. And really feeling like, whoa, this is just way too much. And so we ended up you know, looking at, well, what is one thing that you think that you can do? And at that time, the one thing that she thought she could do was she'd use a lot of salt on her season, you know, on her foods. And she said, well, you know, maybe this might be related, you know, to my blood pressure. And so we said, well, let's just do that. You know, from there, we looked at different seasonings and were able to, at the same time, cut back a little bit on the fat, but not a lot. We particularly went with just where she was going. And then she saw that the next checkup, her blood pressure was down. And so we added a few other things. We looked at trying to get more structure into her eating. She was kind of eating more grazing and not really thinking about what she was eating. And so it was very satisfying, and it was wonderful to work with her over a period of time, because sometimes clients only have time, or companies only have time to give their employees just a one-shot thing, and so you really don't get to do some tweaking here and there. But for this individual, it was really nice to see the evolving positive results that were coming. But really, we just took it one step at a time.
You know, I can remember a day when I read that famous book called Sugar Blues, you know, from back in the 70s, that wanted to attribute every natural disaster in mankind to that someone ate sugar. Well, so on a test, though, to your point about tweaking, I said, you know, I'm going to go after this. And so for 2 weeks, I did not eat anything with sugar. And I mean, I really was scrutinizing the labels of cans and so on. And at the end of the 2 weeks, I was feeling great. And I was exercising a lot, not quite the runner that you are. I said, oh, because it was back in the days when somebody always brought in those luscious cake donuts. So I treated myself and had a cake donut. Within 10 minutes, I was in the ladies' room having to lie down. And I said, okay, I'm a believer now. So part of our challenge, is it not, Amy, and I'm sure in yours working with clients, is how do you strike the balance? How do you tweak it? And then also, how do you kind of gift yourself every now and then so you can, you know, it can be that fun factor you talked about earlier.
And that also is important. One of the things that I tell all my clients is that no food is off limits. You know, that the important thing is to have the core things that you really need to get, the fruits, the vegetables, the lean meats, or other protein sources, beans being a fine example, and get those and have those primary. But then, you know, if there's a celebration or there's some other things out there that you really want to treat yourself, that's okay. That's an extra, but let's make sure that your core intake is getting all the good vitamins, minerals, and energy sources that your body needs.
You bet. You know, you address some of these challenges to this, what we'll call preventative health care, really. Health meaning both physical, mental, and emotional, I assume. This, the lack of motivation, you know, the reluctancy to change, the wake-up call. But, you know, also some people are under the impression that this will cost me more money. And that's not true, is it, if you're smart about it?
It's not. It can. I mean, if you want it to, it can cost you, but it doesn't have to. And I think really choosing foods in season, when it comes to produce, you can get great deals or farmers markets. I think also just making sure that you're not buying for the convenience. You know, it's really simple things that you need to do at home to prepare something. But if you get something already prepared, that oftentimes will, you know, elevate the cost quite a bit.
Let alone also the amount of salt you get, preservatives, and so on, of pre-prepared foods.
Right.
Amy, share with us before we wrap up here your advice and philosophy regarding career change in general. Because my goodness, the circles that are now coming back together for you, and then in 2010 launching Seattle Food Net, what a great possibility here. But your advice to others.
Well, I find for myself, it's been important for me to make sure I don't try to do too much too soon. And so taking it slow, and yet at the same time, I try to challenge myself each day to make some forward progress.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's, you know, reaching out to more clients or learning a new, I'm trying right now to become more technology savvy, but trying to move that forward. And along that ways, I not only have my long-term goals, but I also have some short-term goals, so I can see that I am moving forward.
And even to commend yourself and celebrate along that path.
Correct, yeah.
That's very good. Well, for our listeners, again, to learn more about what Amy does and to interact with her, you go to seattlefoodnut.com and look forward to keeping track of your business. Amy is president and CNO, Chief Nutrition Officer. I think you've started a movement here.
Thank you so much.
Great.
Sarah.
You bet. Have a great Labor Day weekend.
You too.
You bet. Take care.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.